Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and life coach David Bartke here. Today is Sunday, April the 8th, 2018, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, your weekend daily dose of happy. And David, we haven't talked in about a week or so, but how's it going? Anything exciting or happy or wonderful or joyful or just plain good going on in your neighborhood?
Of course there is, Walt.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Well, you know, I have to ask anyway because we don't talk that often, you know. So I have to catch up with you.
Well, there's two things I wanted to talk about before we get into the book, which I think people would enjoy. One is I had a kind of a fun win today. And what happened was about a week ago, I was at the store and I saw this lapis bracelet. You know what lapis is? It's like the blue stone.
Right.
So whatever. It's this lapis beaded bracelet. And I thought, oh, that would be nice. So I tried it on and it was in this case. And on top of the case, it said, everything in this case is 60% off. So I'm like, oh, that'll be good.
Nice.
So when the lady, I said, well, what would the final price on this be? And she goes, oh, this isn't ringing up as it's on sale, so it would be full price. And I'm like, what? It's in the case. So she goes, well, I can't do anything about it. If it doesn't ring up that way, yada, yada, yada. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to think about it. So she put it back, and I thought, well, I'll try going back a different day. Maybe there'll be a different person there, and they'll honor that, the 60% up. So I went back today, and the same lady was there.
Nice.
And at first I thought, oh, no, the same lady's So anyway, so I went back, and there was a few other people looking at that case, and she goes, oh, hi, and like, hi, and I said, can I try the blue lapis bracelet? And the guy said, oh, I'm thinking about getting that one. And I said, well, let me, you know, he didn't have it on, so I said, well, I just wanted to try it on again. So I did, and I just said, well, how much is it? And on her own, without having, you know, without me having to do anything, she took it, and she went to her calculator, and she took the 60% off.
Oh, nice.
So I don't know what changed between when I saw it and then today, but I was like secretly like, yay. So that was a kind of a fun win because in my mind, like on the weather, I thought, well, maybe there'll be someone different, or if it's not, maybe I'll ask to speak to the manager and say, you know, if it's in this case, I think it's only fair that it should be at the 60% off. But I didn't have to do any of that.
That's good. Very nice. So what do you think made the difference then? I mean, what you didn't really tell the story like you did anything different. So what made the difference?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think just because I didn't have really any resistance about it at all. I was just like, okay, you know, if she does, if it can be done, I'll get it. If not, you know, I don't have to have it. But, you know, if it's 60% off, I'll take it. And I've just been at a very high vibration today.
Oh, well, that's good.
And she was just like, here's the price. And it was 60% off. And I'm like, oh, I just nonchalantly was like, okay, I'll take it. And the guy was like, wait a minute. But anyway, so that's kind of a fun win, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just happened. It just easily happened. I didn't have to make, you know, do anything in particular, except keep myself at a good vibration.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to work. It's supposed to be easy, isn't it? I mean, it's not supposed to be difficult.
Yes. Well, when you allow, it's, you're not, you know, you just have to be easy about what you want and, you know, not get in your own way and block it. Like, you know, how's it going to happen and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So just by going back for whatever reason, she just did it without any, you know, zero issue. It was just like, boom, here it is. So that was kind of a
very
fun
nice
win to report.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, then speaking of vibrations, I wanted to share this as well, that I had a client this past week, and I always tell my clients, like, you have to be in the vibration of what you want to attract it. And, you know, people understand that at different levels based on how long they've been thinking about law of attraction and the principles of law of attraction. And this particular client, you know, he's been thinking about it for a while, so he wasn't new to it. So we were talking, and we were talking about certain things he wanted to attract into his life or achieve. And at some point during our coaching call, he said, "Oh, if that happened for me, I would be at a 10, like on the 1 to 10 scale."
Okay.
And if you're not familiar with that, I always ask people like to imagine there's a 1 to 10 vibrational scale, and someone who's at a 1 would be feeling really down, really low, and someone who's at a 10 would be feeling like, "Oh, I just feel so happy." Like they're just at a 10, which is like on that scale the highest you can be vibrationally. So we always want to strive, you know, to be as close to that as possible. So I said to him, "That's right. If you would be at a 10 if you attracted that." And I said, "And that's why I always say, if you keep yourself at a 10, then you'll attract 10 experiences and circumstances."
This is true.
And it just, in that moment, for whatever reason, it just clicked with him. He's like, "Oh my God, now I get it." He goes, "Okay. Now I really get it." And that's the thing that we have to all try to get, is that that's what that means. Like, we have to do our best to be in the vibration of what we want first so we can attract it to us.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a great revelation that he had in that moment. And I thought, I'm going to share that because, you know, that's an important thing for all of us to be reminded about and kind of get.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah.
It's a good story. All right.
Yeah, so that's why, you know, Esther Hicks always says there's nothing as important as keeping ourselves feeling really good.
It's my goal, I can tell you that. It's what I try to do just about every day. So I can certainly endorse it.
Yeah, because basically when we want whatever we want it because it's going to make us feel good, feel better, feel good. So if we deliberately keep ourselves feeling really good, then we're going to attract those things that will keep us feeling good.
Hopefully, yeah. That's the way it works.
So anyway, that was a nice,
very nice
thing to share as a reminder, or if someone's just hearing that for the first time, that's what that means.
I'm trying to think what else has been going on. The only other thing I can think of, besides the fact that I've been making good progress on the book and I'm hoping to really wrap it up this week in terms of stitching it together, is that we had our 37,000th play over the weekend. So we're continuing to march up in those numbers too. So, you know, good stuff happening. Nothing really major, but, you know, it doesn't have to be earth-shattering. Just has to be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then for someone who doesn't know, what's this book you're talking about?
Oh, yeah. This is, well, I think most of our listeners do know by now, but you're right. There could be somebody who's listening for the first time. A group of 40 of us, have been putting together a collection of stories that are based on real-life events that are all... I guess you could call them manifestation stories. That's really what they are. They're law of attraction manifestation stories. Things that, you know, people wanted to attract into their lives. Often things they were having trouble getting for whatever reason. And in many cases, the results seemed miraculous. But, you know, they're all good stories. And I think we have something like 55 stories. So there's going to be... This is going to be kind of be like the chicken soup for the soul of the law of attraction person.
Oh, yes. That sounds amazing.
So it's going to be good. Yeah. I mean, it's been fun being the editor of it because I get to read all the stories, of course. And, you know, well, that's one of the perks, right?
Now that you've read all the stories, are they a diverse group of stories? Are some of them similar? It'd be interesting.
They're very diverse. I haven't really talked about this in a while, but one of the most amazing things is, I mean, we didn't like actively say, okay, we want to have this kind of story and that kind of story. It was just, you know, find out what people had to offer. And the authors that we're working with are all people who, well, are not all, are mostly people who are coaches, particularly law of attraction coaches or other kinds of therapists, that sort of thing. And so the net result is that these people, even though they come from a variety of different backgrounds, manage to... I guess not surprisingly, they managed to put together, by just their own submissions, they put together a list of stories that are very representative of the kinds of stories people want to have. The only thing that surprised me, and this is what I was referring to a little bit earlier, the number one category of story was getting the house of your dreams.
Interesting.
And I would not have predicted that. That one surprised me. You know, I would have thought it'd been like relationships or, you know, getting a job or you know, making a lot of money, winning the lottery, something like that. No, it was getting the house of your dreams. That was a pretty unusual thing. Or either a house or a couple of cases it was an office, you know, because they wanted to get an office for their practice. But either way, and well, you ought to know, you submitted one of them.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I could have even submitted more than one about that kind of thing. But
well, I was hoping you were going to submit the one you never did. I thought you were going to send in the one talking about how you got your current house, but you didn't do that one.
Oh, well, I still can if you want me to. Is there room?
Oh, sure, there's room. Yeah.
Okay, I mean, well, I will.
All right. Well, you know, write up ASAP and we'll get in there. So we'll move from 55 to 56 stories. That's all right. I'm okay with that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I love that story.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I would have thought it would have been a, like more, you know, money, excess money or unexpected money or things like that. But it's interesting that it's more about housing situations.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you just never know what it's going to be. The other thing that was really surprising to me is how, I guess I shouldn't be totally surprised by this, but the different levels of ability that the different coaches have in terms of writing up their story. I mean, some of the stories were really well written, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, and not necessarily the ones you would have thought. I don't even want to go too much further than that because I don't want to sound like I'm dissing anybody because that's not my intention. You know, certain of the authors just did a really, really nice job. And
well, that's because that makes your job.
It made my job a whole lot easier. Oh, let me tell you, yeah. Because when you're the editor, you're basically having to make sure that everything reads well, and that plus the spelling, the grammar, all that kind of stuff, and that you know it flows. It needs to be an enjoyable story. That's the whole point of these, to have stories that are enjoyable and inspirational at the same time. It's supposed to be chicken soup for the LOA soul. That's essentially what it is, right? So, you know, it needs to be a good read, and that can take a lot of work because on the one hand, you want it to be enjoyable. On the other hand, you don't want to take away the voice of the author because, you know, each author has their own unique voice. You know, so you're always trying to like, draw a balance. But that you're right. That's why I made it easier whenever somebody did put together a story that was really easy to edit because it just made my job so much easier.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And what about did Louise make any high-vibration meals this week?
Oh, gee, she always does. Can I think of one particularly?
Yeah.
She experimented with they were like ribless pork ribs. I don't know what else to call them.
Yeah.
She did that tonight. Let's see, what else did she work on? Oh, she came up with she made a gingerbread with a whipped cream that was delicious. Ugh.
Oh my God, that was really good. Like, was it like a cake or a
kind of cake like? Yeah, yeah. It wasn't hard and chewy, but it was really good. And I think there's some left actually. So you know, I'm thinking about that for after the show.
I know so many times it's the desserts that, for me at least, too, like give me that like, oh my God, my vibration just shut up after this nice, delicious dessert.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep, it does.
I was somewhere recently, and there was an array of desserts, and there was this really nice, like a miniature bundt cake, and it had like caramel drizzled on top of it, and it was really moist, and that was definitely in that category. It was really good.
Very nice. All right.
Yeah, of course I didn't need it, because who needs that amount of calories and such. However...
Well, that actually ties in with the subject of tonight's episode, so to speak, because we're looking at the astonishing power of emotions.
Yeah, let's talk about desserts and then go entitled
as weight. We're in part two, demonstrating the astonishing power of emotions, and example two is I cannot lose weight. So perhaps rule one, don't eat the desserts.
You better read it, because I think if I read it, I'm going to start laughing.
Oh, dear.
Because we were just talking about gingerbread with whipped cream and bun cake with karma.
Well, actually, that's going to give us something good to talk about, because it's also something that Wendy and I have been talking about on some of the afternoon podcasts. So let's see where this goes. It says in the book, The example says, I've been overweight for as long as I can remember. There were a few brief times in my life when I was able to force my weight under control through uncomfortable dieting and what felt like deprivation and through arduous exercise, but none of it was easy, and I wasn't able to maintain the regimen for long, and so the unwanted weight always came back. I don't feel comfortable in my clothes and dread shopping for new ones. I stand in front of my closet looking for something to wear, and even though I have some nice things, nothing appeals to me because I don't like the way I look no matter what I'm wearing. My body doesn't move well, and I know that I'd feel so much better all around if I could just lose a few pounds. But I feel powerless to do anything about this excess weight, so I'm very discouraged. Yeah, I mean, if I were that person, I'd be pretty discouraged too. That's understandable.
Yeah.
So we go on here. It says, now we want to begin this discussion by reminding you of the most important part of deliberate creation. Creating is not about making things happen through action. In fact, creating is not about making things happen at all. Creating is about allowing the thing that you desire to happen, and the allowing happens through energy alignment, not through action. Sometimes this is a hard thing for you to hear because you know from your personal experience in life that action does get results. You know that you have been able to shed unwanted pounds by decreasing your food consumption, and there is no question in your mind that the exercise helped too. And we are not disagreeing with any of that, for it is obvious that action does have a place in the creating of many things. In fact, without action, your society would be without a great many of its things. But when you make action the cornerstone of your creative process without considering the vibrational basis of your being as you are taking the action, you are working under a distinct handicap, for there is simply not enough power in the action itself to compensate for the competing energies of your misaligned thought.
So basically, not only do you have to be on a diet, kind of, and you can watch what you eat and exercise, but you also have to have your thoughts in the right place as well.
Well, maybe. And this is where the conversation with Wendy is so interesting. She has a thing that she's calling Project B for body. And in Project B, she's had weight issues pretty much since she was a young kid. And she has dieted every single diet you can do. She could probably quote every single nutritional statistic that's ever been quoted in a popular study. I mean, she's really knowledgeable about the whole thing. And the current theory that she's working under is that it actually doesn't pay to diet. Because diet is about deprivation. Diet is about lack. And when you're putting yourself into a place of lack, you're really not doing yourself any favors. Her position at this point, and she's still experimenting to see if it's true, is you should only eat when your body really wants to eat. In other words, you shouldn't eat just because, you know, your taste buds are irritated and you want to have something sweet, or because you're bored, or because there's nothing else to do, or because you're feeling antsy or anything else. The only time to eat is when you actually, when your body is saying, I'm hungry, I need some actual nutrition here. And then once you are in that place, then you eat whatever you want. As long as, and this is the provision, as long as you ask your inner being first, can I eat this? Which is an interesting approach, I have to say. And it makes a lot of sense vibrationally. It makes a lot of sense in terms of even what Abraham teaches. Because she's basically paying attention to her, to what the messages are from her inner being. And she's only eating when she really needs to. And the net results so far, she's reported this on Friday, after all kinds of diets she's done over the years. She was describing how frustrating dieting can be for her because she would experience the same kind of roller coaster effect that some others have experienced. And she would start at level X, and then she'd lose some pounds, and then gain it back and be at X plus 10. And then lose some pounds, and then gain it back to be X plus 20. You know, so she was never gaining ground. She was always losing ground, despite the fact that with these various diets, she kept losing weight. And she said she even started experimenting. And during her experimentation, she would try, you know, approach X and then watch what happened with the scale. And try approach Y and watch what would happen with the scale and so forth. And she said one of her tests, she decided to eat this really, I don't even remember what it was, but it was a very non-good food to have. It's not, it was something on virtually everybody's don't eat list when you're dieting, right? And she checked
like the foods we were just talking about. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it actually had a little more nutrition, whatever it was, but it was definitely not considered good food. It was like fast food or something like that. And she checked the scale and the scale didn't move. And she said, well, that's interesting. And so she's tried a few other experiments like that. You know what the one time is that she actually got the scale to move and to stay on a slightly downward trend? Is when she's following the thing that she's talking about doing right now. She eats whatever she wants, whenever she wants. The only criteria are her body actually has to want it from a nutrition point of view, like I'm hungry. And she has to check with her inner being first to see if that particular food is okay to eat. And doing that, she's actually been taking weight off and leaving it off.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, I mean, well, it's early days. But
as time goes by, how that, if it keeps happening, that would be great.
Now, how well does that match up with what Abraham is saying here? I'd say it matches up fairly well. I mean, so they haven't really given us a whole lot of examples about how to do it yet, but they are saying that the problem very often is competing energies. Well, her energies aren't competing. Yeah. I mean, her energies are very straightforward, very clean, very positive, very happy, you know? So let's leap forward and see if there's any more here to either confirm Wendy's theory or perhaps question it one way or another.
Okay.
It says, you may recall a successful experience where someone offered you an idea regarding losing weight and you felt an immediate enthusiasm toward the idea. Your enthusiasm could be attributed to the power of the belief of the person who offered the idea to you, or it could be that the idea dovetailed precisely with beliefs of your own, but is your enthusiasm that we want to call your attention toward. Your enthusiasm was the evidence that the vibration of your being was in alignment. It's all in italics, and this is too. And then remember what happened next. You were eager to take the action, and in taking it, positive results occurred. It is possible to take action because someone suggests it or encourages it or even demands it. And once involved in the action, your attitude can begin to improve. But the deliberate alignment of your vibration first, which then inspires successful action, is a much more powerful approach to whatever it is you want to create. Well, that's very much in alignment with what she's doing, because she's very enthusiastic about it. She's very excited about it. Her attitude is great where this is concerned. All right, let's read a little further, see what happens. What's that?
Yeah, I like the line, but the deliberate alignment of your vibration first,
which is what she's doing.
Successful. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, how much more deliberate can you be than to say, "Body, do I need this?" And then, if the answer is yes, then inner being, is it okay for me to have this food? I mean, that's pretty deliberate.
Yes.
So, continuing, it says, during your discouraged moments, as you acknowledged that your body was not as you would like it to be, you were launching rockets of desire about what you preferred, and within all of that processing of life, and without realizing it, you have been adding to your vibrational escrow. You have created a vibrational version of the new and improved physical version of yourself. We want to help you understand that this is not a flimsy dream floating somewhere in your imagination. This is not a delusional departure from reality. This is a creation in the making, and it is being created in precisely the same way that everything you see around you has been created. The living of life gave birth to the idea or thought, which in time, with focus, became what you call your reality. I don't think I've ever heard them express anything like that. This is not a delusional departure from reality. This is a creation in the making. It is not a flimsy dream floating somewhere in your imagination. I've never heard that expression from them before.
Yeah, I like it, though.
It's very direct. Yeah, it's refreshingly direct. It's basically saying, this ain't no pipe dream, folks. This is the real deal. And I think Wendy's taking it to heart, which doesn't surprise me because she knows this stuff so well. But I like her creative approach to it. So continuing, it says, so the discouragement you've been feeling is indicating the discord between the continually evolving creation of your beautiful body and the thoughts that you continue to think regarding your body. Isn't that true of most diets?
Yeah. Yep.
In fact, are there any diets where that doesn't apply?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. In fact, I was even making a point to Wendy And it kind of got slid under the rug because she was so enthusiastic about her approach that we talked about that. But the point that occurred to me is they call it a diet as if it were something unusual. When in fact, the only thing that's unusual about them is that there are certain things they deny you. But in fact, if you look at what the word diet means, it means what you eat. That's what a diet is. A diet is what you eat.
Right. Yeah.
And it's nothing more than that. It's like humans in particular, especially overweight humans, have this thing that's been trained into them to believe that a diet is somehow different from what you eat. That it's something special. It's somebody else created this magical thing that's different from what you eat that will somehow cause you to lose weight. And they have all the evidence to support themselves. You know, they've got all these studies that have been done and all this other stuff. And yet, amazingly, populace as a whole doesn't manage to lose weight. Or if it does, it doesn't stay off. And the few who do lose weight are people who are on Weight Watchers, which Wendy describes as like eating cardboard. So they're people who like to eat cardboard.
That's a whole other thing, because a friend of mine has been on the new version of Weight Watchers.
Oh, what's the new version? What's different about it?
And for her, it's working, because what it is, it's a point system, so whatever. Say you get 30 points a day, but now they've made it where pretty much fruits, vegetables, and proteins are now 0 points. so you could have like as much of that, but the minute you start, you know, adding bread or pasta or dessert or something carby, then your points increase a lot. So my friend's doing it, and it's working because she's staying within the point. So
it's essentially a low-carb diet.
It is. It is. And then if you know, you can carry your points over if you don't use them all. So if you do want a piece of something, you can because you have the points. But anyway, it was kind of interesting that you mentioned that, because she was just telling me about it. And I'm like, oh, that's good. So people can just have as much fruits, vegetables, and proteins, and you're not going to gain weight. Because when you have the other stuff that in mass quantities, then that's when you're going to gain the weight. That's a whole other thing that what we're talking about. But
it's interesting because there's a lot of controversy about low-carb diets, and I don't want to get too much into that because it gets away from what we're talking about, other than to mention that the track record with low-carb diets may be better than others, but it still has, in many ways, it has a lot of failures. I've known people who have been on low-carb diets who had weight issues who got absolutely nowhere. Wasn't working.
I always think it's just best to be on, like you said, like everyone's kind of always on a diet because it's just how you're eating. But
that's what a diet is. It's what you eat.
Exactly. But that's what you just said. It's what you eat.
It's what you eat. Yeah, whatever you eat is your diet.
It's what you're eating. Like, you know, if you're gaining weight, obviously you're eating too much sugar or of the things that are going to do that. So it's like, to me, it's like it has to be a constant awareness. And unless you have some freak metabolism, and there are people that can do that. They can just eat whatever they want and they're thin. But other than that, you know, we kind of always have to be very aware of how we're eating, because if you just eat willy-nilly, then chances are, you know, you're going to be heavier.
I don't know. That's why I think Wendy's approach makes a lot more sense to me. Because
her approach, though, is not willy-nilly. It's very aware, which is wonderful.
It's aware, but it's not aware in the way most dietary approaches are aware, because it's not dietary. It's not about diet.
Right.
It's about energy level. It's what does her energy level say to her? How good is she feeling? How does her body feel? What kind of messages is she getting from her inner being? Nothing having anything to do with food. You know, that's what catches my attention.
It'll be interesting to see, like, if she's keeping track of what she's eating. It'll be interesting to see what it is that she's eating and still losing weight.
Well, she told me that on Friday she's planning to have I think it was like Thursday, something like that. She had had junk food for the first time in years, and she loved it.
Okay.
And what it really comes down to, this is why I think there's a lot of merit to her theory here. I mean, obviously it still has to be played out to see what's going to happen. But I think there's a tremendous amount of merit to it. I think it does make sense to make sure that you eat food that actually nourishes you. I mean,
of course,
for instance.
Yeah.
Well, it's not necessarily in a course. This is actually a key point. I mean, there are a number of diets, like, you know, for instance, vegetarian or vegan or whatever. You know, lots of people advocate these as being healthy diets. Well, Cindy Chavez was on one of those diets, and they almost killed her.
My goodness.
The only thing that saved her was that she ended up talking to somebody who said, well, what's your blood type? She says, it's blood O, blood type O. She says, well, if you're blood type O, you need to have a lot of protein, meat protein particularly. So she started eating meat protein, and all the symptoms went away. Now, is that true?
That's the thing, though. It's like the chiropractor I go to, he does muscle testing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm not sure you know what that is, but, like, you know, if you're holding some kind of food and he tests you on it, and if you go weak when he tests you on it, that food is not right for your particular body.
Yeah, I'm aware
and
of that.
I think dieting is kind of like that. Like, that's why it's so hard. Like, it's hard to say, like, oh, everyone should be on this kind of diet, because not everyone would test that that's right for them.
Yeah, what really, you know, that I wouldn't even think of it in terms of diet. I was thinking about it in terms of what foods do you need. Because diet
according to this chiropractor, which makes sense to me, like, something healthy for one person, and he may test someone else with that particular food, and for that other person, it may not be right for them. That's why it's hard to say, like, oh, everyone should have.
Well, I agree with that. I'm not so sure about the muscle test. I've been a little bit dubious about that one for some time. But I certainly agree with him that different people have different dietary needs. No doubt in my mind. That much I'm very sure of. I mean, I've never had severe weight loss issues. Either way, I've never been, I've been what some people would have said was unhealthily thin. I really wasn't. I was actually pretty close to my correct weight for my height. But nevertheless,
Are you one of those who can eat anything and never gain any weight?
I was for the longest time, yeah. Once I reached 60, once I reached 60, that kind of changed. Actually, around 55, that changed. But for the longest time, it wouldn't make any difference what I would eat. And I honestly do believe that my attitude had a lot to do with that. I mean, I believed before that it was my metabolism, because I believed I had a high metabolism. But now I'm not so sure. I'm really not so sure that was the case, because it's not like I was this really, really active person. And that's what we typically associate with somebody who has a high metabolism. Now, they're very active. Well, I was moderately active, but I wasn't.
Well, some people just have that, regardless of how active they are. Maybe that was part of your genetics or something.
Maybe. I'm not 100% convinced that I actually had it. I think it was attributed. I think the way that my body weight was throughout most of my adult years and even childhood was attributed to high metabolism level. I was certainly told that. I believed it for the longest time. But I don't know of any clear evidence that said, yes, this showed that my metabolism was high, other than the fact that I didn't put on a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I really doubt the claim. I'm not saying that it's impossible, but I am saying that I doubt it severely. I doubt it very strongly. I'm not so sure that metabolism has anything to do with it. I think the mental outlook you have probably has a lot more to do with it. And my mental outlook was it didn't matter what I would eat. It didn't make any difference at all. I wouldn't put on weight. I really believed that.
Mm-hmm.
I was taught that. I was taught that because I was taught I had this high metabolism level. So I believed it. But I believed it down to my core. I had absolutely no doubt in my mind that it didn't matter what I would eat. And I didn't want to eat a lot. It's not like I was somebody who just binge eating all the time. I ate just what I wanted to eat. That was it, you know?
Right.
And I didn't always eat healthy. I remember one time I downed a whole box of chocolate chip cookies.
Sick as
a dog afterward, but I did it.
Oh, my God. But it didn't, except for the overeating of the chocolate chip cookies, it didn't sound like you overate a lot, though, based on what you said.
No, I don't know what is considered to be a healthy amount or an unhealthy amount. I ate enough to certainly stay nutrified. I had the energy that I needed to do the things that I wanted to do in life. You know, so there was never an issue there. Did I go back for thirds, fourths, and fifths? No, I never did that. And I have to admit, if you do that, you're basically setting yourself a number of different ways. Not the least of which is the belief that you need massive amounts of food in order to have enough nutrition, in order to do the things you want to do. Well, okay, but you got to recognize you're setting yourself up there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a setup that you just set yourself up on. You believe that you got to keep eating this stuff. And or you know, actually, I think what people do is they justify what they're doing. You know, I honestly don't think that most people who have severe weight issues, who eat inappropriately or whatever, I'm not convinced that they fully understand why they're doing it.
Yeah.
I think that what is happening, though, is that they believe that no matter what they do, they're going to put on weight. I don't think it makes any difference whether they're actively eating well or actively eating poorly. Now, do I think they should eat well? Yeah, I think actually it pays off to eat well. I mean, you have more energy. Absolutely. You have a better life when you eat well.
Well, just for health reasons.
Yeah, for energy reasons. It feels better, you know, when you're not overstuffed, but you have enough and you're, you know, you can go do the things you want. That's the point of eating, so you can continue to do the things you like to do in life. But that's not the mentality that people with weight issues seem to have. Their mentality seems to be a different mentality entirely. And I can't say I totally identify with it because I've never had it. You know, the last few years I've had it because for the first time I have this little bulge in my belly that I never had before. But other than that, most people look at me and they say, you're not overweight.
Yeah.
You see, it's all relative, right? I look down, I see what looks like a spare tire, and they look at it and they say, well, so what's that? I mean, like, did you drop a paper cup on the floor or something like that? There's nothing. There's nothing there. What are you worried about, Walt?
Well, Walt, I mean, it depends who you're, like, are you comparing your body to, like, the guy on the cover of GQ? It just depends.
I don't think I'm ready to do that, no, because I haven't been doing the exercising over the last 30 years to get my muscle tone to the point where the guy on GQ has his, so no. No, I'm not comparing to him at all. Not even close.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the whole thing, which is what's going on with the food supply today, that there's so much. There's certain ingredients in food, especially processed food, that they purposely put it in there so you can't tell when you're full and you keep wanting more. That's a whole other thing going on in a lot of foods nowadays, which of course isn't good for us either.
Yeah, I think you're talking about the sweetener, and I can't remember what the name of that sweetener is.
Yeah, there's actually a few of them, and it's like, oh my god! Like, I read a book by this one doctor, and he's like, It's not most people's fault that they're overweight. It's because of the way the food supply is and what's put into.
Yeah, I've heard that theory too. But I'll tell you what, like I was saying, I did not have any kind of weight issues for like the first 55 years of my life. It wasn't until I started actually paying attention to that kind of stuff. I used to ignore that. I used to hear that stuff and just ignore it. It wasn't until I started paying attention to all that stuff. In part because I have family members who have weight issues, and there were a number of things that were going on that made me focus on it more, or led me to choose to focus on it more. It's only since I've been focusing on that my own weight has increased.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, does that prove anything? No, but it's sure an indicator.
Well, maybe because you're focusing on it in a, like, is it like a resistant way?
Well, yeah, obviously. It's not happy. It's not like, oh wow, here comes the food. I'm just so pleased, and I'm not going to worry about any of it. That's not what the attitude has changed. The attitude has changed to being concerned about stuff. And since I've been concerned about stuff, that's when I've been putting on the weight. Not lots, but that's when I've been putting on some weight. And I'm realizing, even as we're talking right now, there's a direct correlation there for me. I wonder how many other people that's a correlation for. I wonder how many people who are worried about the fact that the food supply is messed up are having weight issues of either putting on weight or not having enough weight on, becoming bulimic or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wonder about that. How many people with healthy bodies actively go out of their way to be worried about what's in the food supply? Has anyone ever checked that? I don't think anybody's ever checked that. I don't know. We're speculating. It's hard to say for sure. I do believe, though, that no matter what you do, no matter whether you follow a particular dietary plan or not, the main thing is what's going on with your energy. Is it a positive energy or is it a negative energy?
Right, and how you're thinking about it.
How are you thinking about it? Yeah. What's your attention on? What are you focused on? What are you excited about? And what are you depressed about? What are you worried about? What are you concerned about? What are you a little scared about? Because those are going to feed it dramatically. And then if you follow Wendy's approach, Wendy's approach makes a lot of sense. I mean, to tell her to hear her tell it, she has her brain with all the stuff that's out there has gotten so confused that literally it had gotten to the point that any time that she ate almost anything, she felt guilty. How on earth can that be positive? How on earth can that produce a positive result? It can't possibly produce a positive result. And that was one of her breakthroughs, realizing guilt is like the worst thing you can do to yourself.
Yep.
You know?
Now, how are you, this is reminding me, how are you doing with your everyday mirror exercise?
I believe it or not, I have been doing them perfectly up until today. I hadn't actually done them today, and you just remind me of that, so I'm making a little note to make sure I get it done today. Normally, I do them first thing in the morning, and today, for whatever reason, it just slipped by, and I just didn't do it. But
now, how many days have you been doing it?
Let's see. This would be day 50, I think. Is it 50?
Wow, that's wonderful. And have you...
That's not right.
Have you noticed a difference, or have you kind of plateaued, or how has it been?
Yeah, this is day 50. Oh, my goodness. Well, then I can't stop. I got to make sure I get it done for sure.
What have you noticed? Have you noticed more quieting, or is it kind of evened off, or...
Well, the negative self-talk that kind of automatically played in the back of my mind, that's gone. It did come back briefly, but it went away because I kept sticking to the mirror work. I've been planning to stick with it even beyond all that just to see what else happens. And so far, I can't report anything new, any new breakthroughs or anything like that. But
even what you've experienced is really good. I mean,
And that happened starting around day 30. So I certainly am very happy with that result. I think I just mainly want to try. Sure. My goal at this point is, can I do it for a whole year and then see if I've gotten any new results out of it?
Well, that would be amazing. I mean, to do it for a year. I mean,
why not?
Because initially you were going to kind of just do it for a month, and now you're up to day 50, which is great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you get this far, you're 1/7 of the way to a year. Right,
and now when you say it, it must feel really real to you and more comfortable than in the beginning.
That's an interesting question. How does it feel right now? On the one hand, I am happy and pleased with myself that I was able to stick it through this long and to get some good results out of it. On the other hand, I can't honestly say it feels a whole lot different from where I was 50 days ago. I feel better, and better is certainly better. But I don't feel I'm a different person or anything like that. I don't feel like I've gone through this dramatic shift. I just had a particular nasty voice turn off. That's it.
But that might be doing more than you even realize.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping and expecting is really going on. That this is producing results that I'm not even aware of.
And you will become aware of them, but who knows when?
Exactly. And I have to just keep going on faith. I have to keep going on the belief that, it's not just faith, because I know that it's producing good results already. Now, I just have to go on faith that it's going to continue to produce more.
It's a healthy thing to do, and it's really good.
Certainly healthy for me. I know that for sure.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So let's see, where are we in the book here? I've lost track of where we are. Do you know where
it's... All right, let me continue.
You pick it up.
59.
Okay.
So it continues on. Your body has been vibrationally evolving, but your old patterns of thought, your beliefs, which are the only thoughts that you continue to think, are causing a vibrational discord. And under those conditions, successful action cannot be inspired or performed. Under those conditions, all action is harder, yielding little or no results, causing more discouragement still.
Yeah.
And then in italics it says, the key to bringing your body to a new place is to see it differently from the way it is. It is necessary that you focus upon the body that is coming and distract yourself from the negative aspects of your current physical body. For as long as you are seeing your body as it is, you are contradicting the vibration of the idea of a slender body. You cannot create a new reality while looking at your current reality. And right. That's a lot to ask in a way, but it totally makes sense to me.
Well, it is a lot to ask. That's a tough one. That's a tough one to deal with. That, I think, is where something like mirror work really becomes handy. Because the whole point of mirror work is to love yourself more. I mean, that's what you're doing when you're talking yourself in the mirror. You're telling yourself, I love you. I appreciate you. I think you're fantastic. You're building yourself up just by talking and looking into your own eyes and smiling and, you know, basically saying to your inner being, I approve of who you are. I think you're great. You're my number one.
Well, yes. I mean, I know for when I've needed to lose weight in the past and different clients I've worked with, that's one of the things I want to do is lose weight, is to focus, like it says here, like to focus on how you want to look, how you want to feel, you know, how it feels to go into the store and you can try on anything. It just looks amazing because that gets you off of what is and excited about, like they say, what's coming. And for me, what that's done, when I do that, then that inspires me to take more action to reach that goal, which is kind of interesting.
Well, yeah.
Suddenly I want to exercise more or eat less of this or more of that.
And mm-hmm.
That kind of was what I think they're kind of saying here, is you got to see yourself to the best of your ability. If maybe at one point you were thinner and you can kind of go back to how that looked, or if you weren't, how you think you would look thinner and all the, how much better you would feel and more energy and everything would look really good on you. And, you know, do your best to take yourself off of what is.
That's all a good goal. I still think it's asking a lot of somebody, and perhaps too much to ask. That's why I was saying that the mirror work is so valuable, because the mirror work isn't dedicated to the idea of trying to make me pretend that I have a different body. The mirror work is simply about loving who I am deep down inside, regardless of the meat suit that I'm wearing.
Right.
It's about loving who I am.
But you're not particularly doing the mirror work because the body, you know.
No, I'm not going to the mirror with a comb and saying, you know, a couple of strokes and, oh, God, that's perfect. You know, I'm not doing anything. Like, there's nothing about the outside, the external that I'm talking about when I'm talking to myself. I'm talking about the internal. I'm talking about the person who's within the body. That's who I'm talking to. And if you build that person up, that makes it a whole lot easier to love yourself better. And when you love yourself better, it's easier to distract your attention from whatever the reality of your current reality of your body is. It's easier to distract away from that because you feel good about yourself. But if you don't feel good about yourself, you can't do it. If you don't feel good about yourself, you can try to pretend all you want to, but you're just not getting anywhere, because every time you look in the mirror, you still see the same body.
Right, and that kind of goes with what you're saying. It just depends what you're telling yourself when you look in the mirror.
Exactly, yeah. It's got to be something that you believe. That's why it's always better to be talking about who you are as a being rather than what your body looks like, because you can certainly believe that you're a good person. It may take a little bit of doing, especially the first few times. I certainly found that. My first time talking in the mirror, I could do it for 5 seconds and I couldn't look anymore. It was too embarrassing.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with how my body looked. It had to do with, I just could look myself in the eye. I couldn't do it.
But I love that last sentence in that paragraph. You cannot create a new reality while looking at your current reality. And that really goes for anything, whether it's weight or finances or relationship or whatever it is.
Exactly. And when you're looking not at your body, but looking at who you are when you're doing mirror work, you're looking at yourself in a new way. You're creating a new look, so to speak, without actually making it a look.
Mm-hmm.
You're creating a new you by focusing on a different aspect of who you are. So you're now no longer how much weight you have. That's no longer how you're thinking about yourself.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let me go on here because we got a lot left and we only have about 10 minutes.
Well, I don't think we're going to finish this chapter, but that's all right.
Yeah, that's probably not.
It's a long one.
Yeah. So now that you understand why it has been so difficult to find the inspiration to act and why the action, even when you did offer it, netted you very little results, let us show you some very simple things that you can do that will begin the process of aligning your energies immediately. For by understanding the laws of the universe and by understanding the basis of your creation, which is the simple alignment of vibration, you will now be on your way to the outcome that you desire. First bullet point. Your choices right now do not include whether you are at your perfect body weight or not.
Isn't that a nice thought right there?
Yes.
You don't have to be envisioning a perfect body. You don't have to. You don't have to pick. It's not like that's your choice. That's the choice you have to pick. No, that's not what you have to pick.
Next one. You have no choice other than to be at the body weight you are at right now.
In other words, you don't have to be stuck on the reality that currently is.
That's right. You are going to weigh about the same thing tomorrow as you do today, and the next day too, and so on.
Yeah, that's a good trap that right there.
That goes with accepting what is right now.
Yeah.
Changing your body weight right now is not an option.
Yeah.
Changing your vibe.
That one I could see that one being a big bugaboo for people, because it does seem like when reality doesn't change over a long period of time, it seems like it's stuck. And that's a good way of describing it for somebody who has a weight issue. Changing your body weight right now is not an option.
Yes, however, the next one, changing your vibrational alignment right now is an option and a powerful one.
Ah, now we're starting to make the change.
Yes. Next one. Also, you are not right now choosing between feeling fabulous or terrible. You are not choosing between feeling enthusiasm or discouragement. Your choices right now are more subtle and more fine-tuned than that. You are making the simple choice of feeling a little better or a little worse. You can choose an upstream thought or a better feeling downstream thought. Those are your only choices, upstream or downstream, but those choices are enough. I mean, that sounds so simple, right?
Well, it sounds so simple. For many people, it's going to sound too simple, like it's too good to be true. But nevertheless, it's the right direction, isn't it? Because this upstream, downstream metaphor makes it really clear. If you're going upstream, you're paddling like crazy. If you're going downstream, you're just enjoying the ride. It's a completely different feeling. Now, the hard part is trusting that the downstream actually is going to get you there, because you're not doing any work.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And it says those choices are enough, which is pretty like, wow.
Yeah.
I like that. That seems, I'll take it. That seems good.
So they provide an example. They say, for example, imagine you are at an outdoor shopping center. You are moving in and out of many beautiful shops, and there are hundreds of people moving in and out of them with you. These individuals vary in size and shape and wardrobe, but you are predominantly noticing nicely dressed, nicely shaped, beautiful people all around you, and as you see them, you feel self-conscious. You are now awkwardly aware of what you are wearing, and you are unhappy with the way you look today. You turn to see your reflection in the window as you are walking, and you are extremely unhappy about the way you look. You feel agitated, discouraged, and unhappy, and you are not having a good time on this shopping outing at all. You have now lost interest in the reason why you came to the mall. You do not feel like shopping anymore. In fact, the only thing that is appealing to you right now is the idea of getting something to eat. There are good smelling things in the air, and you realize that you are hungry and that you do want a snack. There are several choices within view, and from the fragrances in the air, you know there are more choices nearby. Any one of the several things sounds good to you. Ice cream, candy, maybe something more substantial, such as a sandwich. Actually, all that sounds pretty good to you right now. Your urge to find a quiet place to sit while you eat something is becoming quite strong. And while you are trying to fight the urge to follow through on your impulse, it is much easier to give in to it and get something to eat. As you are standing in line at the ice cream counter, you notice the slender people waiting in line with you. They are annoying. And as you are annoyed, your urge for the ice cream continues to grow stronger still.
I am laughing here. It's just so funny to me, like right now. I know you haven't read the whole thing, but I'm like, that's the option. Like, you're feeling frustrated. So the first thing you think is, where is the ice cream stand?
it's quite an association. It really is. I'm frustrated, so I need ice cream. And there are a lot of people who have that. And it's one I recognize, because I've had that one myself. But it just shows how our psychological makeup is born out of our experience, and that's how we become the habitual beings who have the same reality over and over again. Before we continue with the details of this example, and before we offer guidance to assist you in improving your situation, we want to explain something that most people do not understand, and in fact have a hard time believing. Whether you gird up your willpower and walk out of the ice cream parlor, or whether you go ahead and select and eat a large tub of ice cream, there is absolutely no difference in the effect of one of those actions over the other.
There is calorie-wise.
That's not what they're saying, though. There is absolutely no difference in the effect of one of those actions over the other. Even if we are talking about 1,000 days of walking out as compared to 1,000 days of eating a tub of ice cream, the action choice of one or the other makes no difference. It is not your action that matters. It is your vibration. It is not your action that makes you fat. It is your vibration. It is not what you are doing that makes the difference. It is how you are feeling about what you are doing. That's Wendy's theory right there. That's what she's trying to pursue. She wants to feel good about eating.
Mm-hmm.
She only wants to eat when she really needs something nutritionally to eat. Her body needs the energy. She doesn't want to eat just because she's lonely or tired or angry or frustrated.
Right.
Hungry, angry, lonely, tired, you know, the halt thing right there. Well, you got to be really hungry, and the rest of it, no. And more importantly, you got to be in a good frame of mind. You know what her latest affirmation is? Well, she's got two of them, actually. The second most recent one is happy body, happy life. So basically, she only wants to eat when she's in a happy mood about her body. When she's feeling good. When her body feels good. When she has the mental attitude that all that matters is that she feels good. Not what she's eating, not what the diet says, not what the dietary restrictions say, not what the experts say, not what the nutritionists say. How does she feel? And that's right in alignment with what they're saying here. It is not your action that matters. It is your vibration. It is not your action that makes you fat. It is your vibration. It is not what you are doing that makes the difference. It is how you are feeling about what you are doing. And that's why it doesn't matter if we're talking about 1,000 days of walking out as compared to 1,000 days of eating a tub of ice cream. Do you realize what they're saying there, David? They're saying is if your vibration is the same in both of those cases, either way you go, you're going to get the same result. I mean, that's a pretty staggering thing that they're saying there. And it makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. How many people do I know of who go out of their way to practically starve themselves and they don't lose weight? Or if they do manage to lose it, they put on twice as much a week later.
Yeah. Well, they're definitely not in their alignment because they wouldn't be doing that, but yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, Wendy told me point blank at one point. You know, she went through a period of time where she was eating, she even told me what the number of calories was per meal, per day, rather, and I was just like freaking out because it was so low. And she managed to lose weight that way, but she was also practically making herself sick. And then when she put the weight back on, she put the weight on plus another 10 or 20.
I know. They always say that. Yeah, a lot of times when people go on a diet, when they do lose the weight, as soon as like the kind of diet that we're talking about, when they do lose the weight, then they stop doing that particular diet, then they not only gain back more, but quickly. And it's like, wow.
Well, then you have to ask the question, at what point do we decide that it has nothing to do with the food? How many pieces of examples of evidence do we have to have before we finally decide it's not the food?
A lot.
Apparently, yeah. Because
there's so many health gurus that know you, if you eat this way, you're going to do this.
But they spelled it out so clearly here. Abraham has made it really, really clear. It doesn't matter whether you walk out of the parlor without eating 1,000 times or you eat it 1,000 times, you're going to get the same result because of what your vibration is.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
Really is.
Well, we're down to like 40 seconds on some of that theme music,
so we got
to draw it to a close. But this has been good. We're going to pick this up again next week, and we'll be talking about some more. Plus, Wendy's going to be sharing more about Project B, you know, during the week, so I'll share some of those results with you. But David, it's been a pleasure. And how does somebody reach in case they want to reach out to you?
They can go to lifecoachdavid.com, and they can contact me through there if they're interested in some wonderful law of attraction coaching.
Sounds great. David, it's been a pleasure. Talk to you next week.
Stay here. Have a great one.
All right. We'll see you next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.